I desire your prayers this evening. I'd like to start with a verse of a song, if you'll sing it with me. I am learning of my Savior, precious lessons every hour, how the soul which he has ransomed may be kept by mighty power. I am learning precious truth in Jesus' word. I am learning of the lowly Lamb of God. I would like to say, first of all, I am very thankful for this meeting. It has been a learning experience for us. That the Lord is faithful to come down and visit us in areas that we did not know we even needed some help in. I'm thankful for that. I want to start with a verse in 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture, that means every one of them has a purpose. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And here's the purpose for all of it: that the man of God may be perfect, truly furnished unto all good works. I'm thinking about that part this afternoon. All scripture is given, and here's a purpose of it: for instruction in righteousness. To be able to show me how better to live my life, more pleasing to the Lord. This morning, we heard instruction in righteousness. Lest we forget the things that God has done for us, remember when we have a battle today, remember those things that the Lord has done for us in the past. It'll help us. But this afternoon, I have something that has been, the Lord's been dealing with me about recently. Because that was not just a recommendation this morning. Should I fail to do that? Should I fail to remember what God has done for me? There is something else that wants to fill that void in my life. And I'd like to talk about it this afternoon. There are some things that will happen to people when they fail to follow the Lord. We think about where it talks about, don't be deceived, God's not mocked. The things that you sow, you're going to have to reap. But I love the 91st chapter of Psalms. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And it goes on down. I'd like to just take a look at that. Because before we look at the negative things that can happen, I'd like for us to see what we can avoid, what we can have in our life. 91, it goes on down. Talks about a whole lot of people could fall with the things happening around them. 1,000 shall fall at thy side. This is the 7th verse of 91st chapter. 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Because I've taken heed to some instruction in righteousness, the word of God that comes to me. Look at this next verse. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. I just see the troubles that happen should I fail to remember what God has done for me. It doesn't have to happen to me. 9th verse says, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation, there shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. Now that's quite a promise right there. But it all comes about if I do what's in the first verse. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I want to receive instruction in righteousness. I'd like to go to Exodus, the 20th chapter. When God gave the commandments for the people to follow, he gave 10 of them. And you know, throughout the scripture, there was a whole lot of other things, advice that God gave But this one, he put these 10 just in a kind of special compartment, because I think he wanted us to realize these are all very important. I want to look this afternoon at the last one, the 10th commandment. Thou shalt not covet. You know what I talked about when, what we heard this morning from Sister Doris, remembering what God has done for us? When I fail to do that, I start having some longings for the things that I don't have instead of remembering what all God has done for me. But before I look at the negative that can come from covet, there are two definitions that I found about covet. One of them was positive. I'd like to look at it first. To desire or wish for with an eagerness. To desire earnestly to obtain or possess in a good sense. You know, the Bible tells me there is something that I should covet. It tells me in 1 Corinthians 12 that God has some gifts that he would like to give out. And he says, I want you to covet earnestly the best gift. Now, you know what? All we have to do is look a little bit more through the Bible, and we will know that does not mean I want the one that gets the most attention. No, what I'm saying is, Lord, I want the one that you see I need the most. If it's a gift of helps, Lord, give it to me, and I'll do my very best to work with it, to cultivate it to the very best of my ability. But that's not the only thing that he told us we can go after. There's something else he said, Galatians 5 and 22. There's some fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, kindness, and just a big list of them. And it says, against such, there is no law. You just covet these. You have an earnest desire. I want to fill my life more with these. That's the positive. Two definitions for covet. If we looked at how much each one of them is used, I would say this part of it is more on the endangered species list than how much the world uses this other definition of covet. The other definition is to desire inordinately, to desire that which is unlawful to obtain or to possess it in a bad sense. This verse that said, do not covet, he just went on with a list of things just in case I don't know what he's talking about. He says, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, neither anything that is thy neighbor's. So I thought about this. What all does that cover? Because if I'm in my yard and a push mower is all I can afford, and I'm mowing with the push mower and it's hot, and I look over at my neighbor and he has just bought one of those zero turns, and he's getting 52 inches at a swath with his. You know, I will probably daydream a little bit of how it would feel if I could be doing that one instead of this one. And you know what? There is nothing wrong with that. Here is the danger when it proceeds to another step. And that step is where we fail to do what Sister Doris has said. Okay, I see that one over there, and I really wish I could drive one of those. But this is what I have, and I am thankful that my push mower is working today. I appreciate that. Maybe someday he will bless with something else. The word inordinate, it's an excessive desire. It is not limited to rules that are prescribed. It's not limited to the usual bounds. The usual things that would say, you need to stop here. You won't be able to attain this, and I push on beyond it. I'd like to look at a verse, because Jesus wanted to give us some instruction with this. It's in Luke, the 12th chapter, and in the 15th verse. And as I looked at this one, it seems like he just kind of tucked this verse in between two stories. Here's the verse, the 15th verse of the 12th chapter of Luke. He said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. And then he gave us a little secret. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he tucked that in the middle of two different stories. One story before it, 13th verse, one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. He said unto him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And then he spoke to him, Take heed and beware of covetousness. Now, you know, this man, it sounded like he deserved his part of the inheritance. Seems to me like what Jesus was talking to him about is, you know, folks, life is not always going to be fair. I'm not going to always get my fair shake of what I should deserve. So I believe what he was telling him was, be real careful you're at a place here where you could be coveting something you cannot get. He may never divide the inheritance with you. But let me tell you something. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. It is a different level to the Christian. And I believe that's what he was trying to tell him. Then he followed it up with another story. It was the man who had obtained everything. Legally had obtained it. He wasn't coveting anything else. He already had it. And this verse would still apply to him. Be real careful here. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses. You remember when this man looked at all that he had? I don't believe there was anything wrong with him being a successful farmer and learning how to do it better and get more produce for what he planted. Nothing wrong with that. There was nothing wrong with him when it came in and he did not have room to take care of it all. Rather than let it go to waste, he looked at what he could do to protect it. Nothing wrong there. But when he started making that his primary focus for life, I've got this now. I'm secure. This scripture also fits him. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. There is something more for all of us. And I want to be able to have it in my life. There is a story in the Bible. It is probably the largest example of what covetousness can do. In James, it tells us there's a progression to sin. I'd like to look at it first. It's in James in the first chapter. Because you know what this... Be careful about covetousness. It doesn't begin as a sin. Coveting begins as a thought. It's where that thought goes. I'd like to look at this in James in the first chapter. Let no man say, 13th verse, when he is tempted, I'm tempted of God. God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempteth he any man. Every man is tempted when he's drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And a lot of times we may look at that word lust as a sinful thing. Folks, it can involve just my desires reaching out for things. You know what? It's okay for me to see the mower next door and say, you know, I really wish I had one of those. But it's where I let the next thought go to. Because you know what? I can allow the next thought to be, if I can't have it, he shouldn't have it. Why should he be able to have something that I can't have? You know, we're living in a world that is that way today. We need to make all this thing fair. We need to divide it all up between everybody. This one says, be real careful, because there's a progression that comes. Drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And you know what? He's still got an opportunity to do something with it, to stop it. But it says, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. And sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. And then it says, do not err, my beloved brethren. The story that I was looking at was King Ahab. He's the king. He can have whatever he wants. And he looked at the vineyard that was next to his land, and he wanted it. You know what? There was no sin in what he started out with. There would be no sin in me going home and wanting to buy my neighbor's property and going to him and say, you know what, I would like to buy your place. What would you sell it for? It's the next step that I need to be real careful about. Because the very next step should have ended it all. When Nabal said, it's not for sale. He said, well, I'll give you more for it. I'll give you better land for it. No, there's a reason it's not for sale. It's the property that has been my inheritance. It's been given down to me. And no amount of money would buy it. You know, we're moving into another area now. He's either going to step back from it and say, you know what, it was a desire I had, but I'm going to have to let it go. Or follow the path that he took. When he moved from, when lust hath conceived, it bringeth forth sin. Sin, when it's finished, bringeth forth death. King Ahab, instead of letting it go, I've got to have this. To the point that his wife was more wicked than he was. He didn't kill him himself. Instead, his wife said, I can take care of it for you. To the point that when Naboth is dead, she can tell him, go take your vineyard now. It's yours. For God to be warning us, be real careful of covetousness. You know, we will say it would never go to that level. There's just things I want in life. But those things come at a price. When there's something that I cannot attain, but I want it anyway. The scripture tells us to be very careful about those areas in my life. The scripture says there's things that I need to do about some things. There's things that are in God's category to do. There are some things that's in my category to do. I'd like to look at a verse in Colossians in the 3rd chapter and in the 5th verse. Mortify. You know, just that one word, whatever's going to be in this verse, you need to kill it. You need to put it to death. And there's some pretty bad things in that category. Mortify your members which are upon the earth. Fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, covetousness. Falls right in the category with the others. Covetousness, which is idolatry. I was reading the commentary. It says, a covetous man makes his money his God. His idol is gold and silver. You know, when I read the story of Judas, when Mary came with the expensive ointment and anointed Jesus with it, one of the disciples had something to say about it. He said, this could have been taken and given to the poor. But you know what? It didn't give him any accolades for saying that, because that's not what his heart was. It says Judas really was a thief, and he carried the bag. He had other things working down inside of him. Was he just saying, you know what, we're really running low on money. My only purpose is I'd like to build it back up because we're going to need to be able to buy food to eat. Folks, he had been walking with Jesus. He had seen what he could do with a little bit of fish and a little bit of bread. We don't need money in this bag, not when you're walking with Jesus. But instead, there was something down inside him that started, and it started with a thought. Ours will start with a thought. And this is not about going to the level that King Ahab went. This is about me going into areas where I don't remember, I forget that God has allowed these things to come into my life. And instead, I want out of them. I want something different for my life. Be very careful of covetousness. It goes into more areas than just money. But there is also a warning to me about money. Be real careful, because those riches can take wings and fly away. There's another verse in Ephesians in the 5th chapter and in the 5th verse. This know also, and he gives us also another list of bad things. But he says, this know, that no covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. There's another scripture that tells me in 1 Timothy. It says that it's not even about that I get rich. It's about that I have this desire inside of me. 1 Timothy 6 and the 9th verse. They that will be rich, that's my goal, that's my purpose, that's my desire, fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. And then that next verse, for the love of money is the root of all evil. I was reading a commentary that said these two verses need to go together. Because what it's talking about, the love of money is the root of all evil. The love of money with these folks that are following after, they that will be rich. The love of money that way will cause you to have, it'll be the root of evil. Which while some coveted after, this is my desire. This is where I want to go. You know what? There's a balance for us. Because the scripture, all through the scripture, from the beginning of the Bible in Genesis, it says for the man to get out there and work and provide. And now it's saying you be real careful about covetousness. For me to look out at things that are past what I'm able to get, I need to be real careful about. It tells me if a man does not provide for his own, he's worse than an infidel. It tells me to not be slothful in business, but to be fervent in spirit. It gives me much instruction about what I should do. But it also tells me, be real careful. There are some areas that you can move into covetousness. There's a little story I want to tell you. Because these things, I say, I'm a Christian. That has got to be for somebody else. You may have read this story. I heard it told by this brother. Brother Allen, Brother Murphy Allen, traveled in the gospel work. And he felt that he needed a travel trailer. But he didn't have one. And Brother Darius Gibson, a friend of his, also was a minister and traveled in the gospel work. And he had a travel trailer. And one day, Brother Darius calls him and says, I just want to tell you some good news. I have just been given a new travel trailer. Something happened. Brother Murphy said it himself. Something happened inside. I don't even have one. And now he's got two. You know, you're going to have to do something real quick. You don't want to wait very long with that one. He didn't. You don't want to wait very long because there's something that happens. And it says, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You know what he did? I was talking to his children just this week to make sure the story was right. And they said, yes, we remember it. In fact, he got us all together and said, come on, we're going over to his house to rejoice with him for what the Lord has done for him. Well, it turned out pretty good. Because I think Brother Darius realized he didn't need two of them anymore either. So he gave one of them. Took care of the whole problem. You know, Brother Murphy could have said, I'm through. I have put all my life into this thing. Now the Lord's blessing him with two and I have none. I'm quitting. Not him. He climbed up on top of it. Went to rejoice with him. Even if he, from then on, if he would have left it, that Brother Darius drives one week and gets the other one next week and I still don't have any. He was on top of it because he did not let covetousness come in. The road to covetousness begins with a thought. Folks, you know what? Really, every sin begins with a thought. It's what we do with it. This, don't covet from God is telling us it's not about the thought that is presented. There's not a lot we can do about a thought that's presented. I don't believe there was anything that Brother Allen could do about a thought that got presented. But it's what he did with when it was presented.
the next step that he took with that thought that was presented is very important. You know what? Covetousness can be defeated. It'll also be defeated with a thought. And that thought is just what we heard this morning. The Lord is well able to take care of my needs that I have today, because I'm remembering the ones that I had yesterday, and the Lord took care of those. Here's some of the things, the thoughts that I could allow to come into my mind that will defeat covetousness. Proverbs 18 and 10, just the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run into it and they're safe. For me, even to be able to just tell the Lord, Lord, this thought is coming to me. And I will not accept it, but I do need your help to be able to reject it. The name of the Lord is a strong tower for that. There is another verse that will help us, and it goes just along with what we heard this morning. It's in Psalms 103 and 1. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't forget all of his benefits. Folks, he has loaded us with benefits. Salvation, if I did not have hardly any earthly possessions, salvation itself is one great benefit. The hope of heaven out ahead is one great benefit. There is a cure for covetousness, and it is that instruction in righteousness. There is a verse in Hebrews. It will cure covetousness. It's got a guarantee with it. Hebrews 13 and 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Not just the words I say, but my conduct and the pattern of thought that I give it. You know, folks, this is an area. You look at some of the other Ten Commandments. They're visible for everyone to see. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. A lot of things, when that sin is committed, it's visible. This one is not visible. It will become visible usually as something else. It first comes in as a thought. And I can put it out by God's help. Let your conversation be without covetousness. And here we go with the solution. Be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee, so that we may boldly say, the Lord's my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do to me. Let your conversation, my conduct, be without that covetousness. I'm always longing for the thing I don't have. You know what? Maybe that could even be health. Maybe I have gone through a period of sickness, and I could look at other people and see how much better their life is and be desirous that I wish that were me, to the point that I lose the peace that the Lord has for me. I was thinking of Fanny Crosby. Her story is a challenge to me. Just a few days old, she came down with some inflammation in her eyes. And something was tried, a poultice was tried on her eyes, and it caused her to go blind. And it's one thing to read this verse, be content with such things as you have. That's easy for me to read when I have it, when I've got everything. But you know what, for her at an early age, I was thinking about this as a child, you know what, you long to be able to see and go outside and play with the other children and all those things. But she somehow got a hold to something that she said. She had a verse that said that she made, that said, oh, what a happy child am I, although I cannot see. Something about my desire is that contentment in this life is what I want to be. And she made that her life. You know, she could have let bitterness come in. She could have coveted a better life. Why couldn't I have kept my eyesight? But what she did was she climbed up on top of it, to the point that later in her life, she said, if perfect eyesight were offered to me tomorrow, I would not accept it. because she got a vision of what was happening to her with her eyesight gone. She said, I am afraid that if my eyesight were given back to me today, I would start seeing all the things around me and they would start consuming so much of my thought that I would not be able to give it all to the Lord like I've been able to give while I was blind. That is quite a testimony. And what God did with her in that time, 8,000 songs while she's blind. She never wrote a one of them down, couldn't see to do it. But her testimony was that there were as many as 12 songs being processed in her head at the same time. And God gave her the ability to keep them separated until somebody could come and write them down. Be content with such things as we have. Where I am in life. You know what it says? With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You know what? When we do that, when I thank the Lord for what He has already done for me, and then I say, Lord, I would appreciate it if you would do this, I steer around covetousness because I'm putting it in God's hands. What you want to do with me out in the future. Then there's a verse in Matthew 6 and 33. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. A promise. Now, am I going to end up with piles of cash? No. He's going to give me the things that will go along with me seeking. And really, you know what's going to happen? When I seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness, the things He gives me is going to be exactly what I long for. He was able to do that with Solomon. He knew Solomon's heart. I don't believe God would have ever made that kind of offer to a man that He did not know which way his heart was going. But He knew where Solomon's heart was, and Solomon told him, when God said, you just ask me whatever you want, I'll give it to you. Solomon didn't have to say, okay, do I want cash? Do I want this? Lord, I need some wisdom to be able to guide this great people. I'm just a child, and I don't know how. I need some wisdom. And God said, I'll give you this, and I'll give you some other also. God knows the things that we stand in need of. There's another verse in Philippians, the 4th chapter. Philippians 4 and 19. My God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Guaranteed, He will take care of the needs I have. And then in Philippians, I've learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. Now that is something, because this was written not by somebody that always had everything he would like to have had. 11th verse, it says, 4th chapter, not that I speak in respect of want, I've learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I'm instructed both to be full and to be hungry, to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. The guarantee to be able to avoid covetousness is being content with the things that God has given me. Godliness with contentment is great gain. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we'll carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Lord, help me to remember what you told the man that was wanting you to settle up the estate between him and his brother. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. I can have satisfaction and contentment in life with the things that God has allowed me to be able to have. There's a song I'd like to close with. Song number 97. If we could sing it together. All this world, its wealth and honor, cannot sate the human breast, but when filled with God our Father, everyone is fully blessed. My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. All my soul can wish forever, I do find in Christ replete. Every blessing and the giver in my peaceful bosom meet. My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. Is thy life bereft of comfort, and thy heart a cheerless spot? Say not Christ is in thy desert, for we can believe it not. My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. Can a bird drink up the ocean, thirsting still from shore to shore? Or the God of all creation leave thy heart yet craving more? My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. Would my soul could more encompass heaven's glory will to me. Oh, the love of God so precious, 'tis a deep and shoreless sea. My soul is satisfied. My soul is satisfied. I am complete in Jesus' love, and my soul is satisfied. So there's four verses saying, I've reached satisfaction. I'm there. My soul is satisfied. The fifth verse says, nope, it's not satisfied. I want some more of it. There is a covetousness that we can have. I earnestly desire more of God in my life. It will bring this contentment that drives out the wrong kind of covetousness. I desire your prayers.